Welcome everyone, this is Nathalie Dorenier here for New Software Marketing, and today I am here with a very special guest. Her name is Liz Asian, and we've actually met a couple of years ago, several years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago, and I am really excited to have her here today. Liz is a Taekwondo Black Belt holder. She quit her PhD studies to set up her own business, and she's now the founder and CEO of Digital Matchbox, which we're going to get a chance to learn a lot more about. She's also been listed on several lists around the web as a top digital marketing expert by her peers. She's written several articles for social media examiners, and I can't wait to dive into this interview and share everything that, you know, you can share with us. So welcome, Liz.
Thank you, Nathalie. What an amazing opportunity to be on this interview with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm so glad you were able to make it. So let's dive in, if that's okay with you. So can you share with us, what is the Digital Matchbox? Who do you work with, and what is it that you do, and how do you help these people? Because I think your business is a bit specific, and I know it has changed since we talked.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, like in the past few years, we actually have been called the marketer's marketer, because we tend to help a lot of marketers in recent years, and but we also help influencers and small business owners, and we help them particularly in three different ways. One is through our subscription-based done-for-you services, where we help businesses with their monthly marketing maintenance and tune-ups. Another way is through our social media marketing dashboard called Digital Matchbox Pro, where business owners and agencies can use our all-in-one online marketing dashboard to manage their online presence with a flat fee subscription every month, which means that you can grow your business without any worries of increased bills. And the third way is through one-on-one coaching, which is I do myself with the client, but it's limited in quantity as clients get to have sessions with me directly to help them conquer their online presence. So that's roughly what we do.
Okay, so it has changed quite a bit, because I don't think you had the one-on-one coaching. And so are you more like an agency type model? Do you actually have a team of people that are working with you?
Yeah, so I have a team of talented people all around the world, because as you know, being in an online business is kind of like 24/7, and you have to be operating all the time. So I have, hand-selected very talented people from around the world. It's taken a few years to find the right people, because, you have to take them on to understand, whether they're a good fit or not. And I always do that. If I have a good gut about a certain person and their skills are good, the next step is always, is their communication good? So we've built like a really good team. Being a remote company, everyone works remotely. Yeah. They have to be on top of their communication.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So can you tell us how you got started? I know you didn't get there, from day one. How did it grow? And how were you able to balance your life and your business while still figuring out, what it is that you wanted to do, and mostly something that was profitable, right? Because there is what you like to do, and then there is actually be able to live from it. So which is, a different story. So can you share, what was your progress there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think I consider myself quite lucky, because I never intended to do a business. Like, I never intended to be a business owner, and I kind of just fell into it. And I think that's the most opportune place to be, because that means when I did start my business, I felt I had validated that this is something people are willing to exchange money with, for my service. So and how that started was kind of funny. I was a PhD student, and I was doing a research in social media and government. And I was blogging about my research, and I was tweeting all these blog links to my articles. And I hashtagged it with Gov 2.0, which meant it's a hashtag for Government 2.0. Mm-hmm. So that's to reach, you know, the target audience that I wanted to get. And from then, it was quite unexpected. Because of my blogs, I got invited to tweet and blog at conferences for like governments and social media. And I was like, wow, getting paid to actually go to conferences and gather my data. It was like really amazing. But what was even more amazing was people started to pay me to talk at the conference, which was like a weird shift of events, because you know I was used to being in the background. So now like I've been invited to talk to it, and I'm asked to, you know, give keynote speeches. I was like, whoa, this is like within 18 months. It was pretty quick, and I was yet to write my thesis, and I was already getting all these offers to consult government. So I was having an impact in the progress of adoption of social media in government whilst I was still researching it. So it was quite a weird place to be, because my supervisor said, well, now you're becoming the research in a way, because you're impacting the adoption of the social media itself. So I said, yeah, it is a bit weird. And it was kind of a crossroads. I was getting paid to, you know, write white papers and, you know, do really high level stuff and, you know, even advising government. So I was like, okay, both of these take a lot of time. Either I finish writing up my PhD or I take up all these opportunities to, you know, help make a difference. So I was like, well, you know, if I had finished my PhD, I would have wanted to do these things anyways. This is what is the goal of the PhD, to work like this in this sort of industry and make an impact. So I was like, okay, I have to make a decision, because as you know, when opportunities come while you're relevant, that's kind of like your, when you gotta strike while it's hot. And if you go away and write your thesis, people might forget about you when you come back. So I had decided, okay, I really wanna, you know, take this on right now because the opportunities are now. So I decided to just quit my PhD and take on all the opportunities that I've gotten. And that's kind of like how my business started, because as soon as I said I was available to do more work for governments, you know, the offers started coming left, right, and center. It wasn't an easy decision because, you know, I had already been on that path of the PhD for a few years. But after that, I just knew I made the right decision, because it's a different feeling when you're theoretically writing, but when you're practically making an impact, I feel that was the reward was a lot more than just writing a thesis and having, you know, the doctor in front of your name. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I never regretted it for one moment, even though some people like, you know, would say I'm crazy to do that. But that's kind of like how it started, really.
Yeah, well, it's all about, you know, reaching to opportunities, right? And they might feel scary. Often they will, you know, if they don't make you feel like outside of your comfort zone, they are probably not going to have such a high impact. So would you say that both consistency, probably consistency in actually tweeting and posting, quality of what the work you were doing, and also just getting out there? I mean, I think that's one of the, you know, main blocks that people have, is getting starting and getting out there, because, you know, we told ourselves, who am I to go out there? You know, I'm new, I've never done this before. You know, there are other people doing it. Why me? Why would it work? Why would people listen to me? So if you take abstraction of that and just say, I'm just going to do it. And because you were not doing it like to make money or run a business, you were just doing it out of passion and sharing, then you were able to see the effect and the impact that it can have on people before even thinking about who am I to actually be doing this, right? So, okay, yes. That's a great story. I didn't know about that.
But you did raise a good valid point. Like, I think a lot of business owners tend to, you know, their block in success is usually themselves. And, you know, when you haven't validated that you are good enough to do this and that people actually want to pay you for this, it's just me. I think the first time I received money for my service, I thought that was like, because it wasn't a job, like it was like freelance gig, right? I felt guilty because it's like, I'm actually enjoying this. It's like, how much should I get paid? But then I was a student. And so I was like, I felt like I had to take the money because, you know, I'm a student. I don't have any other source.
Absolutely. Of income. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that totally makes sense. Okay. Let's talk about where you are right now. So, because I remember like 4 years ago, we met at a conference, and I remember that between the conference, between the talks, we were like going around and interviewing people with your camera and, you know, grabbing as much information. And you were like pretty new into what you were doing. And I think you actually at the time didn't really know what you were going to do with this, but you were interviewing people like crazy. And I remember you say, you know, can I record you? And can we have this? And I remember you were like gathering data already. I think it was in 2013, right? So, and I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. But I think this is actually the way to do it. This is actually the way to do it. So, yeah.
And I mean, like, that was kind of part of my training from going through so many conferences, I think, while I was getting paid to tweet and blog, and that was actually part of my job in a way. So I just continued with the same flow, because I know that the online, offline, I mean, just a little tip in the middle here.
Sure.
I always believe the online and offline have to meet. Like, you can have a great online presence, but for trust to really develop, is either you develop really great relationships online for a long period of time and then people trust you, or you have a great presence and then you go meet them face to face. And that makes, you know, the trust as part of it kind of just boost their trust towards you, or like, you know, just progresses really quickly. Mm-hmm. Because trust, when you put it to a face, is very different when the way you speak, the way you look into someone's eyes is like that. I mean, that's why, like, why I did those interviews, because interviews are a great way to look into someone's eyes and, you know, gain their trust and then sort of build a rapport.
Absolutely. I think it's definitely a great accelerator. I mean, online, we don't get to see people. I mean, now with the live, you know, the Facebook lives and all this live stuff that we can do, it's easier, right? The trust ladder, we can get there a lot faster. But I think nothing beats meeting people at conferences. I mean, every time, we don't go a lot because, you know, we're in France and then you're in UK. So, you know, it's kind of the same for you. Yeah. But going to US is actually, you know, you have to, you know, plan for this. But every time we've gone, you see how your network expands, right? And how distrust, I mean, you always gain new clients, new business relationship from just meeting people. You know, you can save months, if not years, just because you've met them and then, you know, you've actually talked to them face to face. So absolutely. Okay, so do you have like any advice for somebody that would be getting starting online? Any advice on social media, any social media tips, platform, strategy, DIY, hiring somebody? How would somebody go about basically getting known online through social media? Because when somebody gets started, that's the thing. You know, some people are really, really good. People just don't know that they exist, right? So what would be your advice to get started?
I would say my advice is the same 5-6 years ago until now. It's the same, because it is the one that I know works and it will always work, because I feel this is just human nature. So my advice is to first surround yourself with people who are already where you want to be. Okay, that's the first thing. And, you know, this on social media, that probably means follow them and, you know, be part of their community and, you know, be just part, somebody who participates in their, say, online discussions. That's how you become, you know, a voice of that, say, somebody you want to follow or emulate. You just become more visible to them. But also not just them, but their community, who could, like, most likely be one of your clients one day. So that's one way. But I would always say is, marry that with an offline opportunity as well. It's very important. This online, offline is it needs to go together. You can't expect, unless you're selling, you know, toilet paper or something so cheap that, you know, you know, people buy on an impulse. That's a very different, but most of the services or clients that we have, you know, they have a quite long sales cycle. So they might require more, you know, a relationship building. So I say, you know, be very strategic about the events you go to. Say, and, you know, there's conferences. I mean, I would actually, these days I find conferences a bit too much, maybe, because there's too many people. And I find, because it's kind of like online. It's like, it's too noisy. It's just too many people. And if you can't, like, Yeah, it's too big. So how do you find a place where there's only a few people? There's a service that here in the UK is called Table Crowd, where there's Table Crowd is like, it's a company that runs dinners with specific experts. And then you can join, but obviously you pay for your own food and everything, but they arrange everything. And those experts could be from somebody who's raising capital for business angels, or a founder of a subscription business that has gained 135,000 subscription, or a CEO of a company doing artificial intelligence, social media. So they're like people who really know their stuff. And what's cool about that is you also get to meet people, like it's only like 20 people maybe in one dinner. You go there and you can potentially speak to every single one of them. And you already know you have a similar interest because you're going there to see a speaker speak about a specific thing that you're interested in. Mm-hmm. And I think that type of networking really works well. And I've been to a few and I love it because one, you get to eat. Yeah, that's always a good thing, is because, you know, you need something to kind of loosen up the atmosphere, yes. A bit casual, mm-hmm. But not a bar, like not a drinking pub thing, because that's too noisy.
Too noisy, yeah.
I absolutely. Often find I can't network, right? But dinner is more of a, you know, you look at the person across the table, you can speak to them next to you, you're sat down, you're not like, you know, if you're sat from next to somebody, you know, you're bound to speak to them throughout dinner maybe. Whereas if you're walking around and having a drink in your hand, you might decide, oh, I'm going to go to another person. And then, like, you know, it could be 5-minute conversations, basically.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I mean, we've gone to conferences where you come back with 50 business cards and then you don't remember anything about these people, right? Even if you try to jot down notes, you know, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. So choosing like an event where there is not too many people, it's not too crowded, and focus on trying to meet just a couple of people and just build a stronger relationship with these people instead of trying to speak to too many people, because nothing, you know, nothing really tangible, you know, is going to go out from this. They're not going to remember you. You're not going to remember them, right? So I've definitely been there. So I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
So can you share the name again in UK of the...
It's called Table Crowd in the UK.
Table Crowd. Okay. I will put a link for people that are in the UK. We are actually going to an event in the UK in November. That's the Youpreneur Summit with Chris Ducker. I don't know if you are going.
Of course I know him.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah. I haven't heard, but I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think it's closed now. They're sold out. But so we're going to be in London there, and I look forward to it because I think it's not going to be as big as some of the events we've been to. And we are, Olivia and I are both going to go there with an open mind of just being able to connect with a few people and build, you know, stronger relationships and meet all the UK friends that we have and that we haven't met in a long time, you know, because we haven't been in conference in a while, or that we've never met. Yeah.
Yes.
So I really look forward to that.
You should definitely check Table Crowd while you're here. Table Crowd.
Yes, I will definitely check that, because that's a trip we can make over a weekend or something, or a couple of days, take a couple of days. I will definitely check that. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us that we haven't talked about? A tip, a tool, something a mistake that you've made, something?
Yeah, I have like two bits of advice that I really want to like share. Sure. One is like when you're first starting an online business, I would like really recommend that you don't invest heavily in the beginning if you haven't validated that someone is actually willing to pay for your product or service. I cannot stress this enough. A lot of people think that when you go online, it doesn't require a lot of cost and money. But the truth is that if you haven't validated that what you're going to sell is something that people are willing to pay for, you're going to find that it's going to be very, very expensive just to get noticed, especially if you're not willing to hustle, which a lot of people aren't willing to do. So just be aware. So say if no one has ever bought your product, I mean, unless it's like If it's your family and friends, I don't want to count that. I would say stranger. If a stranger has never bought your product or service, because, you know, usually friends and family would be the first ones obviously to support you. Mm-hmm. But if a stranger has never bought your service, and I say that, like, it could still be like your followers on Twitter. That I still consider a stranger. Somebody you haven't met in like real life or something like that. Then you're likely it's going to be harder for you because you just haven't validated your what I call your business model or your business plan, or even your product and service. So that's one thing. Another advice I would like to give is do not put influencers on a pedestal. I think that's like a mistake I've made, and I made this mistake probably 10 years ago. I mean, I've learned now. I used to really idolize somebody and I'd be like, oh, I want to be like them. I want to, you know, do what they want to do. But, you know, they're just human beings and they never asked to be put on a pedestal. When you put someone on a pedestal, it's easier for them to fall from that pedestal because you realize they're just human. So, you know, try to, you know, just see them as people who have done really well. And, you know, you respect them, but don't idolize influences, because at the end of the day you will be disappointed because they're just human. So, and another thing I want to say about influences is just remember, whenever you're taking a course or whenever you're taking, you know, you're buying something for an influencer, know that they're teaching you what helped them be successful. It won't necessarily work for you. Sometimes it doesn't and sometimes it will, but just know that that they're just teaching what they know. So don't expect the same results. You know, there's so many other factors that come into play when somebody is selling a course or telling you how to do something. You know, they probably have already a huge influence before they even started. You don't know that. And they might be already an expert that was known in the industry. You know, you just don't know where people start. So don't be disappointed when you don't get the same results, because everything takes time and there's so many attributes you know, that come into play in order for somebody to achieve a certain goal. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those are great advice. Thank you so much, Liz. So I want to share now ways that you guys can learn more from Liz, and she has a ton to learn, you can learn from. I've read, of course, her articles on social media examiners and other, you know, online blogs, and they are all super useful. You'll see that she definitely knows her stuff. I love you reading your stuff. So I think, Liz, you have something for us, and it's called the free online assessments for your business. Do you want to share a bit about it? And what
yes,
it is
so
exactly?
On our web. Yeah, so on our website, we have like a free assessment where you just like answer a few questions on our website. It's basically to tell you where you are in your online presence. So you could basically have a very weak online presence or a very, very good online presence. And based on the results that we get from you, based on your answers, we will give you a customized, just made for you resources that you can use to increase your online presence. And if say you already have a good online presence, we also recommend a few tips and tricks for you to, you know, make it even better. I mean, you could always make your online presence better. There's so many things you could do. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, like, you'll also get a notification for something that we're about to launch in maybe a couple of months. Awesome. This is actually, I've never told anyone. This is the first place I'm telling it.
Okay, good.
We're about to launch what we call a plug and play digital marketing toolkit. And that's basically a monthly subscription where you get really useful stuff that you will need for your online marketing, like a blog planner, email campaign planner, checklist, social media updates, online marketing health check, templates, image templates, marketing campaign ideas, you know, all the lot. So we're going to be launching this soon. So if you do that online presence assessment, you will be on our list and you will be notified on when this goes to launch. If you want to be part of the beta launch, just email us at support@digital-matchbox.com and let us know what you would like from the beta launch. And maybe we could put that in there too.
Awesome. I think that's a fantastic idea, because one of the things, I mean, it's everything is about consistency in business, but in social media, it's so about consistency. It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality and the consistency, right? So if exactly. you have a service like this that is a membership that is recurring to help you week after week and months after months, I think this is going to be awesome. It's going to give you the accountability and it's going to give you the support that you actually need to be consistent and have that online presence that you so need, right? Especially when you get started and you're overwhelmed, like, where should I be? Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, you know, how do I choose, right? All this stuff. So that's going to be awesome. Okay, well, I will be sharing the link below the interview so that people can check that out, as well as your email if people want to sign up for the beta directly and get in contact with you. Thank you so much, Liz, for joining me today. I'm so excited that we got to do this and that I got to talk to you because it's been a while since we've talked. And thank you so much. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. Please visit the assessment. I'm sure going to do it because we can all use a little help in the social media marketing department. And I will see you next time. Bye-bye.